Hello there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey, Creepies, welcome to episode 169. Nate is your tech engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. What's going on, gentlemen?
Going good.
Going good.
I was letting Nate go first.
Nice. Nice. Good. It is good. How you doing, Sean?
I'm awesome.
Good. Good.
Weather's good.
Man, this morning, it is chilly.
It's chilly.
I thought, is this late September, early October? It was a little chilly. It was like 50s. Put my sweatshirt on, and then coming home, it was took it off, and it was like 75.
It's spring.
Yeah, it was weird. It was a beautiful day, though.
Still is spring, though, right?
It was a good day, but no. You guys having a good week?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good.
We'll go with that. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm having a good week.
It's just hectic at work, just getting used to the new job.
I hear you.
Yeah. New place.
Well.
It's Kokomo, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's only been, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, something like that?
Going on 2 weeks, yeah.
Okay. Well, I hear you. Next week for us is Vacation Bible School at the church, and that's
VBS, baby.
Between kids and volunteers, we have over 1,000.
I was going to say, you have
It's a little nutty. So we set it up Monday, use that whole day to set up all the rooms for what's going to be used and how they want to use it, and then Tuesday through Friday is, you know, the actual VBS. It starts at like 9 to 12, but it's crazy.
Is there a theme?
It's very exhausting, but it's a great thing.
It's a dumb question, but is there like a theme every year?
There are no dumb questions.
And except for mine. Is there a theme?
You're like, that's a stupid question.
Exactly, yeah.
No, I was telling you.
You're like, the
theme. Always a theme.
The theme is always Jesus.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, that's kind of always a given. There is always a theme, and I don't remember what this year's is. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they have posters to go with it and all the different songs, and they have, you know, the volunteer, like, kid, like high school kids.
You write the songs, right?
Yeah. I write the songs.
That's Barry Manilow.
It's the whole world.
Oh, man. Ooh, that's my middle-aged moment,
wow.
Baby.
Holy moly. Hey, yes, there is a theme. A theme. I can't think of what it is, though.
That Barry Manilow thing makes me think of. I told you guys before we started recording that I got Harrison to watch 16 Candles. Fantastic movie.
Yeah.
I was like, you got to watch some coming-of-age movies from the 80s. They're fantastic. And then The Breakfast Club, and when they say to the principal, like, does Barry Manilow know that you stole his wardrobe?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that guy that plays the principal. Or wait a minute. He's not principal. He's... I'm trying to think. Is he the principal?
Yeah, I think
stays
so.
With him.
Yeah,
yeah.
For like almost 9 hours. I forgot it was like
that guy always.
Tensions used to last a couple hours or an hour, you know, mm-hmm. or maybe 3 hours, yeah. But 9 hours.
He was also in Trading Places, mm-hmm. and he was a jerk in there. He was like the.
Well, Die Hard. He's also like.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's always, a jerk always played.
Yeah, he played it.
He's
He passed away though, right? Didn't he die?
Or is he still
around?
I don't remember.
I can't remember.
We'd have to look that up.
I watched an 80s movie.
Which one was it?
Chud.
Oh,
did you
Chud.
Watch it? I watched
it. You watched it too, right?
Yeah. I'm like, this is great.
I was like, yep, it's complete B movie 80s cheese.
Oh, and it's glorious.
Exactly is what I remembered.
Nate, it's glorious.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
Totally, totally 80s cheese. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
I was like,
but
yep,
did you see all the actors in there?
Yeah.
A ton.
Yeah, John Goodman makes a cameo in it.
He's the cop.
Uh-huh.
In the diner towards the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. And then, oh, gosh. This guy was the dad in Home Alone.
He's like the
photographer.
Yep.
He's in it. I'm like, man, he was like 35, 37. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he just passed a year or two ago. I was like, oh, he was like 74. Yep. Yep. Oh, yeah. Did he die?
Yep.
2006. He died the year I got married.
Gosh, 18. Really?
67, so young.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So he'd be like, what, 80?
He
know,
died
86
from
something.
An overdose of dad jokes.
Sorry.
I
was like, what?
Let's see what he died from.
Who else was in that?
Cancer. He died from lung cancer.
Oh, that's too bad.
From asbestos.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's kind of rare. I mean, in these, you know, you don't really hear a lot of asbestos.
Los Angeles. I've never heard of it.
Huh. Yeah, he was a good actor.
Born in New Jersey. Never heard of it.
Yeah, Ched. It's a classic. I remember that in high school. Because it came out like 84, 85, but I didn't see it.
84.
Yeah. 84. Yeah. I saw it like 2 or 3 years later.
Hour and 36 minutes.
Don't waste your time on Ched 2. It's terrible. It's not. It's terrible.
Yeah, it's not. It's not a Ched.
Oh, my gosh. I just fast-forwarded. I started watching it, and then I was like, all right, let's get through the end. I couldn't handle it. It was awful. But no, Ched, the original is great. Mm-hmm. No, there is a bunch of actors in that movie. Okay. But, yeah.
John Hurd.
Yeah.
Daniel Stern.
Daniel Stern, yes. Yep, from, again, Home Alone.
Home Alone. Mm-hmm.
Classic. I mean, yeah, we say Goodman. And there's, and the guy, I know most people would know him, but he has been in other movies that played the chief or the cop.
Oh, Christopher Curry.
Yeah, he's been in movies. Yeah, it is a good movie. I mean, it's mm-hmm. again, you're right. Total cheese, 80s through the hilt. Yeah, you need to watch it, Sean.
I have never seen it.
You've never seen it?
I don't think so.
How can you not see Ched?
I don't know. We've talked about it before. I can't remember. I don't think so.
Sam McMurray. I think he's
I need
been
to though.
Quite a few things.
I'm missing out.
I mean, that's the Gone with the Wind of horror movie. Okay, maybe not. People are listening like, no, it's not. It's Gone with something. No, it's
frankly, Todd, I don't give a no.
Yeah, it is definitely an 80s, man. You don't. The music is, oh my gosh. But no, yeah, we watched, Amy and I watched back-to-back movies Friday night. We watched Nicolas Cage, my man Nick.
I love Nicolas Cage.
It's a 2023 movie.
Is it the Dracula?
It's called The Retirement. The Retirement Plan.
Oh, okay.
And it's got some good action humor. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's just a retired like CIA guy, and it's a good movie. Definitely a good movie. And then we watched with Denzel, my man Denzel, Equalizer 3.
Ooh.
Great movie. We liked the first two, so we thought, and we liked Denzel.
Yep.
So two of my favorite actors. You can't go wrong with Nick and Denzel. So I would recommend both of those movies. So yeah, that's what we watched.
I know I've seen the first two. I'm pretty sure I saw
Equalizers.
The third. Yeah.
Yeah, they're good.
Yep.
They're
really good. I've enjoyed them. Yep.
Oh, yeah. Well, this one's no letdown. They're in Italy this time. He's overseas in it. Yeah. And it's like a 2022 or 2023. I mean, it's pretty recent. So definitely recommend those.
I like that. I'll see it.
You guys did have a good Memorial weekend. I know Nate went to the lake.
Mm-hmm. Lake floated Carbon. In the water.
Yep. That's good.
I got in a couple pools.
I didn't sink.
I got good. In a couple pools. They were freezing cold, though. So
you what?
I got in a couple pools. But
pools.
They were cold.
Pools.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Well, the Thursday.
What was one of my kids. They swam. I think they did.
Well, they were like, oh, it's warm. And I'm like, yeah, it's not. But
Thursday before we left for Memorial, I was out at the camper. And it was getting late. So I was contemplating taking a shower and going to bed, or take the trash down to the dumpsters and take my fishing gear with me and go fish for a little bit. Mm. I'm glad I chose to go fish for a little bit, because I caught like 10 largemouth bass.
Nice.
And at the very end, as the sun was almost gone. No. That I don't have time to do that.
I didn't figure that. Yeah, I was going to say.
You ain't got time for that.
But at the very end, the sun was almost completely gone, and I hit and landed and pulled in the biggest largemouth bass I've ever caught.
Wow.
It was like 4 pounds.
Sweet.
It was nice. Now, it might not be no record, but
big for
it was
you.
Fun for me. And I caught it on my micro pole.
Oh. Wow.
So
that's even better.
A little guy. So,
yeah, it made it fun getting them in. And then once I got him over to the shore, my pole wasn't strong enough to pick it up out of the water, so I had to grab this line and pull it up by hand.
That micro pole got a macro fish, huh?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's cool. How it always is. Anytime. You always catch the record breakers on a Snoopy pole.
Snoopy pole.
Ours was cars, but yeah.
That's funny. The last time I fished was 1993 with my nephew or my two nephews. It was the very first place I lived outside of my mom and dad's. So when I was engaged and we rented this little apartment in my hometown, and we had a pretty good sized lake, and I bought this fishing pole and rod $100 back then. It was expensive. And first time, I'm like, hey, let's go out there. It was evening time, like early. My nephews and out there and snagged some, I'd say seaweed, you know, whatever the crap was, and broke my pole. $100 right down the pond or like
the poop chute. Mm-hmm.
Never, I haven't been since. Mm-hmm. So it was 31 years ago. So that's my fishing experience. Yeah, I walked back in the apartment. My ex-wife was like, she's like, how'd it go? I go, well, you know that $100 pole I bought? It's no more.
It's garbage.
So, but it was still fun having some time with my nephew. So, anyway.
You need to upgrade that story so that you catch, like, the world's biggest fish or something.
Oh, I did by hand. Nice.
By hand, yeah.
Well, that's a good size.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's real good.
Yeah.
I'd be proud of that.
Did he catch you or did you catch it?
Yeah, that thing
is a mutual.
Not
I
small.
I thought so.
It's not.
It's like a Micah Campbell kind of thing.
Oh, boy.
You locked
Here we
eyes.
Go. Micah, that guy. Cool. No, that's good. Yeah, it was good. It was a good weekend. Had a cookout at Amy's mom's, and they got the race in. Got the 500.
They did.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Congratulations to
We watched
Joseph
that
Newgarden.
While we were eating dinner.
What a move he
yeah,
made.
It wasn't, it wasn't a blackout
I mean,
this year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was like, the whole time, like, there's no way they're going to get it in. There's no way. There's still pockets of rain. It's like gonna it's going to rain for 2 hours and then stop. And I mean, and they got it in. I checked on the phone. It said 4:44 flag time. I'm like, yep. Are you serious?
They got it.
Yeah, I'm glad they did.
It was an excellent race.
Yeah, it was. So congratulations to him. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A guy that Jenna used to work with, John, the PT there at Hendricks, he was texting her with her and saying, he's like, yeah, it's going to take a couple hours for the track drive, but they're going to get it in. So she's like, oh, that's cool. Because she's like, what's happening with this race?
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I would not have wanted to be one of the people there because, I mean, basically you were stuck. Most of them Uber are there anyway, you know. Yeah. So.
My the girl that cuts my hair, Brenda, she her husband, Jeremy, he works for Ed Carpenter Racing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, but, you know, of course, Ed went to
Butler. Isn't that in your old neighborhood?
Huh?
In your old neighborhood?
That's right.
Backyard.
Old Speedway.
Just go back there and throw a frisbee.
Oh, yeah. We just lived it. A mile and a half down the road from it.
Yeah. Miles.
That's cool. And we could walk there in, you know, 20 minutes. Anyway, glad the Creepies are joining us whenever they are listening. Got a sponsor.
What?
A new sponsor.
What?
Yes, sir. And I'm going to read it for you guys. This is exciting. Are you tired of niche, unruly beard? Want a beard that looks great, feels amazing, and smells masculine and sexy? Meet your new best friend, Cultured Creature Beard Balm. What do you think about that? I love the name, by the way. Cultured Creature Beard Balm is a game changer. Made with all natural ingredients like mango butter, shea butter, argan, avocado, jojoba, grape seed, and meadow foam seed oil, it nourishes your beard and the skin beneath. Say goodbye to dryness and itchiness and hello to a soft, well-groomed, and great-smelling beard. Not only does it tame your mane, but it also leaves a subtle, masculine scent with options like Cuban tobacco, sandalwood, and bourbon, cedar, and leather, and many more. Feel confident all day, whether at the office, on a date, or at the gym. It's easy to use. Just rub a small amount between your palms and work it into your beard. Simple and effective, and no mess. Cultured Creature Beard Balm is handmade, organic, and natural, made by a father and daughter duo with over 20 years of beard care experience. It's packed with vitamins and nutrients and zero additives or preservatives. Ready to transform your beard? Just visit refineyourwildside.com. And use promo code MAACO10, that's MAACO10, for an extra 10% off your first order. Plus, all Cultured Creature Beard Balm is already 20% off, so that is 30% off your first order. Culture Creature Beard Balm, where nature meets nurture for the ultimate beard care experience. Don't tame your wild side, refine it with Cultured Creature Beard Balm. There you go.
It's a bomb.
I'm definitely going to have to get some.
Yeah. It's
give her a whirl.
Yeah. Check it out. Go to the website.
You had me at bourbon when you said there was a bourbon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it? So it's a orangutan that is the sponsor.
The mascot.
The mascot. That's it.
Yeah.
I kind of love that.
Yeah. Cultured Creature Beard Balm. I love the name. Mm-hmm. And the mascot is cool. The logo and everything. So yeah.
That's cool.
Just make sure you go to refineyourwildside.com and MAACO10 for 10% off. Already 20% off. That's pretty good savings.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. That's our show sponsor. Want to make sure we get that in. And now Mr. Sean.
Yes.
First announcements, please.
I have them. We come here all the time to record the creepy, the paranormal, have the guy time. It's lots of fun for us. But the most important thing that we can do is come here to continue to build a mental health community. And that's what we're going to do forever and ever and ever. So we want you creepies to call or text 988 for any type of mental distress, suicide prevention, or any other type of crisis that you may be experiencing. You can also text HOME to 741-741 for professional help. And if you or anyone you know is experiencing some sort of bullying, make sure to access stopbullying.gov for more help and support.
Nice. I like that. We got to have our creepies healthy, right?
Yes. Gotta. For sure.
Not just physically and spiritually, but mentally, right. Emotionally, all that good stuff. Yeah.
So what we say? Go get you some help.
Go get you some help. I like that, Sean. That was really good. Good job. Excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. Dad joke time. Dad joke of the show. Nate, settle down over there. I see you're excited, but I
am buzzing.
He's starting to pass out.
Are you with excitement?
I was like, he's like, I get it. It's so exciting. It took his breath.
Riveting.
Away. That's why he was trying to. He couldn't breathe. That's what it was, right? Mm-hmm. It wasn't.
Oh, yeah. Take my breath away.
I love that song. Who sang that? I'm trying to.
You would say that.
Yeah. Go ahead and check that out while I read.
Got it.
My dad joke. Anyway. So a man walks into a bar with a parrot on his shoulder. The bartender says, "Hey, does he talk?" And the parrot says, "Yeah, he never shuts up."
That's funny.
It's good. That's good stuff there.
That's a real laugh.
See the parrot
I'm
says.
I'm not the dummy. He's the dummy.
Yeah. So you thought I was going to say the guy. Yeah, see, it's the parrot. Yeah. The parrot says he never shuts up.
Started to throw me there for a second.
So there you go. That's a dad joke of the show.
No.
You threw me for a loop. Man walked in the bar, and I was waiting for something else to come. But then he said, with a parrot.
With a parrot. Yeah. See, the parrot said, and he never shuts up.
Do you want to hear
you're welcome, creepy.
Do you
want to
hear
welcome.
My dilemma with the dad what? Joke? This sounds really ridiculous, but I know it's a huge surprise that I'm terrible at jokes. I'm terrible at them. Like, if I remember them, I rehearse them, or I read them, I'm great. But or if I'm making it up, you know, on the fly. But to remember, even the night before, when we do these, like tomorrow, I'll go to work and think, what was the dad joke? Because I want to tell something funny, and I can't remember it most of the time. Every once in a while, I'll remember.
Just remember the parrot and the guy. Just make sure you say, yes, the parrot says, yeah, parrot he never shuts up.
But I'll screw it up. Like, no, I will get this one, I promise, and I'll report back next week.
Okay. That's a darn good joke. Weird, I was really proud of that one.
Isn't that a weird like dilemma, though? But I'm like, what? I just go dilemma. Like cross-eyed.
That is a dilemma, Sean. That's
but I wanted to bring it to you. This is, see, I'm going to call 988, text 988.
That is a dilemma. So
it is.
Let's move on. Shout outs. Sean, any shout outs for this week's episode?
I do have a shout out.
Okay.
This is a shout out to a friend of ours, a newer friend of ours, Melissa Rapinos. She is from the Randolph County Asylum.
I thought that name sounded familiar. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, Melissa. She
Sweet
drives,
Melissa.
What, 5 hours from Illinois, almost Wisconsin, she said.
She, real quick, she did that just to see us. I don't think she does it all the
yeah,
time.
Yeah, no,
she
I agree
just
with,
knew
that's
how,
right.
Well, how awesome we were. She's like,
totally
oh, my gosh,
make,
I've got to drive
totally
5 hours.
Totally makes sense. Totally makes sense.
To see Nate.
But she, yeah, right. but she reached out, and she's been listening to our show. She said, I've been.
Thank you, Melissa.
Well, she had told us she couldn't wait to binge it. And so she's been listening. And she just reached out and said, I just want you to know, I really enjoy your show. Still listening.
Oh, thank you.
Nice. And she enjoyed, you know, us being there. She, you know, can't wait to see us again. I told her it'll be awesome.
We'll be
back.
Oh, yeah.
And she said, and I quote, that she just wants us to know that we are doing a lot of people a lot of good. And she, you know, just from her, you know, I don't think she'd mind me saying this, but because I'm included in this, like so many people out there deal with different things, mental, physical issues, all that stuff. And she said, it's just nice to listen to you guys and get your mind off of some of those problems.
Oh, good.
And I'm like, I'm thrilled for her to say that. And
that
I
means
know there's
a lot.
Honestly,
really, like we love the
actually ended our conversation. She said, I just want you to know you guys truly make a difference in people's lives. And I said, that means the world to us. So, I mean, to me, to us.
Well, thank you, Melissa.
So, yeah.
But, very, very nice. Yeah. Very, very sweet message.
Takes a lot off my mind, too. Because as we sit here, I can't think of nothing.
Not a thing. After that dad joke. Like an uppercut, right?
Kind of like when you locked eyes with Micah. You just couldn't think of anything.
Take
past
my
that.
Breath that's away. Berlin.
That's it. Oh, that is awesome. That's a great. So shout out to Melissa.
That's right.
Yes. She's excellent.
Awesome. She
excellent.
Is awesome. She's a creepy.
That dad. Whole staff. We love Randolph County. Mm-hmm. Asylum. That was it. Was.
Well, I'm going to one little quick shout out. I'm going to shout out to my family and specifically Jude. Jude had a couple more seizures. We had to up his medicine. Yeah, he just was having a rough that was the only rough part of the weekend. He's doing better though, you know, like he just but Jenna's like, "Oh my gosh, he seems kind of out of it and you know, he's sleepier." And it's like, "Well, he's had a couple more seizures. That's going to make him, you know, he's
well with the medication, probably all of it.
And then the medication definitely makes him like a little bit drunk acting and tired and more hungry. Oh my gosh, he's like ravenous.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep. He's like three of us combined.
To hear that.
So, yeah, but he'll be all right. But I just want shout out to him. It's been stressful. Yes, but Jenna just hates like, you know, the kids and I could all like, you know. Come down with the bubonic plague and they're like, you know, whatever. But Jude, you know, she just freaks out. So
I get it.
That's her baby. Mm-hmm. That's all of our baby, honestly.
I know.
But anyway, so shout out to Jude. He won't ever hear the shout out, but you know.
He didn't listen.
He does. Not well.
He does. He howls.
Turn it on.
Yeah, he's like, this is
birdie, birdie, book, book, book. That's what he hears. Is that dad?
Good shout outs, Nate.
Yeah.
Shout out to
I'd like to give a shout out to just because I was down there and witnessed some of the destruction, the people down around Somerset and Conley Bottom and all the different marinas and places around the lake down there at Lake Cumberland, hit by some pretty good storms over Memorial. And the one marina that we enjoy going to is Conley Bottom. And they had a fire a few years ago. Rebuilt, and it's a nice facility, and now these straight line winds came through and tore the roof off of the new building and collapsed some of the slip roofs on top of the houseboats. So now they're cleaning up again, and then the fire trucks and EMS who were en route to try to get to them to help, nobody got injured, thankfully. Praise the Lord on that nobody got hurt or killed. But some people were trapped in their houseboats, so EMS and fire department were on route, and a tree fell on the engine, so it slowed them down from getting there to help. So yeah, just thoughts and prayers, and hopefully everything get back to normal quickly.
That's rough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they show the pictures. I'm like, oh, not good. Good shout. Anything else?
Nope.
Shout? Yeah, that's a good shout out. Yeah, I hope they get it. They will, and they'll get it repaired, and just hopefully nothing else happens for a while.
What do they say? Build back better.
Luck. That's all right.
Do they say that?
They might.
Somebody well, that was their slogan down there, too, after the first facility burnt all the way down to the water level.
So. Man, that's rough. That's bad. Yeah, we've been through Somerset. I didn't know that was in that area.
Mm-hmm. Cumberland or Conley Bottom is a little bit further up the lake from Somerset. But.
Okay.
I like sort of, kind of in the same region, yeah.
Okay, I'd say because we've been through there for vacation. Actually, went there when we were engaged to meet some Amy's friend. And anyway, but I like Somerset. I like that little town.
Before you do your shout outs, can
I don't have any actually.
Oh, you don't have any?
No, I don't have a shout out.
With the bad news and all that kind of stuff. I had some more bad news. I forgot. I meant to say this to you guys, but off air. But I'll say it now. Actually. You been to any Fuel games?
Oh, yep. I've read that this morning.
Not in a while. I was listening to 105.7, they said that. So the Indy Fuel main announcer guy, his name's Scott.
Indianapolis Indians too.
He's with the Indians, and he's also with the Indy 11. So he does them all. I didn't know he was with Indy 11.
What's going on?
His name is Scott Allen. So he's there at every Indy Fuel game, and
he's the MC.
Yeah, he always wears the jersey and says Allen on the back, and he's a very recognizable voice when you go there. Mm-hmm. You know, he just cheers them on, and he does all the advertising, and then the halftime or half periods or whatever you want to call it. He goes out there and does all the entertainment, you know, and taking the shots. He died in a car accident on Monday. So there was a huge, huge thing about like it's just part of the Fuel family, and then obviously the Indy 5 and
great
Indy
loss.
11, and so yeah, but it was just I wonder like in his 50s maybe 60
yeah,
early.
Like that, yeah.
You say he did with the Indians too?
Yep, he was the MC announcer, so like when they did like races and all that stuff.
Oh,
that was him.
Yeah, Yep. I didn't know that. So I never knew. Oh, man.
Yeah, it was a car accident.
He was great. He was really.
So, yeah.
Oh, but man. Anyway. That shows you never know.
Yep. During the fuel games, you'd always hear, "Let's go fuel."
Yeah, I've never been to the fuel, but I've seen him, you know, countless times.
But I think he did sort of the same thing with the Indians, too.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if this is accurate or not, but when I was growing up in Kokomo, there was a DJ in Kokomo that was named Scott Allen. I don't know if he's the same one or not, and he might have, because it would make sense if he was had been originally a DJ, but I honestly don't really know. But
well, shoot.
So, yeah.
That is another bummer.
Yeah, sorry. So, but I wanted to mention that because I thought, man, that really sucks.
Yeah,
but
there he is. That's the guy.
Thoughts and prayers out to him and his family, and you know, obviously all the people that he works with, and yeah, it really is. But
didn't know that.
I thought when I heard that, I was like, no, that can't be. But yeah.
And see, I've only been to the.
It was on Monday. I mean, it could, you know, Memorial Day. There's so many traffic accidents and accidents and things like that. Shoot. So. You know, who knows?
Oh, gosh. He was only 58.
Yeah. So I was going to say late 50s, early 60s at the most. So.
Oh, man. Yeah. Young. Oh, I hate to hear that. I don't have any shout outs. So we're moving on to special announcements. We just have one, technically. I'm not even going to read it. I can kind of wing it by this time.
Go for it.
But yeah, we're going to be at Greenwood Happy Haunts Saturday, September 21st. Our live show. Starts at 6 o'clock, and it is called the. And what is it called?
You're gonna wing what?
Creeped Out and Haunted Live Show 2024. And of course, we're gonna be there. And special guest Austin Lawrence. He's a paranormal investigator and author. Mm-hmm. Tickets are only $10. Doors open at 5:15. I am gonna read this part because I do not have it memorized. If you want to buy tickets ahead of time, and I suggest you do. They can be pre-purchased using PayPal, and the account is at TWHedges312. My Venmo is at Todd-Hedges-3. I can't remember my Cash App. I took the Cash App off for some reason. Or you can use cash. You can buy tickets when you get there. We're really hoping for a good showing. Uh-huh. Plenty of tickets available. It's going to be a good time. So it starts at 6. Greenwood Happy Haunts, awesome Halloween and fall store year-round, too. So come out and check out the store and listen to some creepy stories from Sean, Nate, and I, and Mr. Austin Lawrence. So
if everybody's lucky, I might be there.
What? I don't believe it.
I'm counting on it, to be honest with you.
I don't believe it.
I don't know. I don't really like the venue.
Oh, you might have to switch then.
That's right. Oh, right.
Scott and Corey, don't listen to him. You know his nonsense. You know he's... We like to say full of it.
It's been a while.
Well,
You saw him last time.
Take a jab.
All the
Black House Cafe.
All the people in. Oh, that's right.
I thought you buried the hatchet. I thought you guys.
Well, you didn't notice. I didn't say a word to him.
Oh, yeah.
I turned my shoulder to him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of burying of the hatchet, did you see Betsy Kolakowski, who just had a birthday, by the way? Happy late birthday to her. She was like, "You're welcome for that," you know, like the hatchet house.
I did not see that.
She put that on our the little drop or whatever on Facebook. So thank you, Betsy, for that. Burying the hatchet, right? But all my work's coming, all your work's coming, all Nate's work's coming. So that should be like 100 people right there, right?
My work?
Yeah, sure. Like,
I get asked.
Well, if I get everybody on the job site to show up, that'll be close to 4,000 people. So,
whoa, we are going to be
a lot
like,
of chairs.
That's a lot of you. Like, I'll get some more chairs.
4,000,
huh?
They're going to supply the sound system, the stage, the tables, and all that. And she's like, "We don't have chairs." I said, "Oh, I've got the chairs set up, or taken care of." How many names?
4,000.
Okay.
The people at my work and your work need to stay home.
actually, I do have, every once in a while, I have people, coworkers that, you know, work at a church. They do ask how the podcast is going.
Yeah, I get that too.
Or something will come up. Or what's funny is they'll say, they'll mention, they'll tell like a personal story, like, "Hey, this happened to me," but they'll see something that makes them think of my podcast. Mm-hmm. I thought that was pretty cool.
Like a ghost at the end of their bed?
No, nothing
like that.
No, but I don't think any of them are going to go. But we're expecting a good, hopefully, like I said, hopefully we have a good showing, and I think we will. I think a lot of people are going to be showing up the day of and buying tickets. That's what kind of Corey thinks. I've talked to her. But like I said, if you know your schedule ahead of time, and I get it, it's only not even June yet, so it's kind of hard to plan out that far ahead, but...
My yeah. favorite answer to
either way is fine.
When people say, "How's your podcast going?" Well, if you listen, you'd know.
Yeah, like, I don't even
touche.
Don't even say that.
No, I know. I do. I have.
Yeah, no, it's the other day I'm trying to think who I'm trying to think who at the church I work with. It's funny. She asked me a question. She said, she goes, "Hey, I wanted to ask you, did you ever find a venue for your thing?" You know, that's kind of how she worded it, your thing. I was like, "Venue?" I'm like, "What?" And she's like, "Yeah, you posted on Facebook a while back." And I'm like, "Okay, we went to Black." I'm trying to think of all the things mm-hmm. recently. Like, okay, Black House Cafe. We went to Randolph County. I'm like, "Are you talking about the Asylum?" And she's like, "No, I think." And she goes, "Weren't you going to do like some show?" I go, "Oh." I said, "Last October, our live show." She goes, "Yeah." She goes, "You're looking for a place to, you put on Facebook, hey, does anybody have a location that we can use?" And you kind of describe what you're, I'm like, "Oh my gosh." So she remembered that and mm-hmm. brought, it was something just to kind of.
Good for her.
Yeah. So I don't think she's going to still listen to the podcast.
That's all right.
No, but I thought, but that was kind of, you know, here
E
it is.
E for effort, right?
Yes, absolutely. And I go, "Well, you know what?" I said, "Thank you for asking." I said, we did. I said, and it turned out great.
That's right.
So anyway, that's it. That's all the special announcements. Oh, by the way, real quick though, we are in the works of having some more meet and greets scheduled. So that's going to be coming up in the next few months. So we're working behind the scenes. So some fun places.
That's right.
So get ready for that. Ooh. So we will be mentioning other places as we go.
I like it.
With that said, Sean, mm-hmm. can you please tell our creepies, our lovely creepies, what we're going to talk about?
I can. This is my pick, so watch out, right? This is on the Alaska Triangle, and if you're interested, you can go to the bottom of our show notes to see the source links on the Alaska Triangle.
Nice.
Yeah.
You've had this for a while, haven't you?
I have. I admit, yes.
Not as long as our Randolph County.
You know what? Okay, this
which
is
we're still going to do.
Full so. Transparency. Sometimes what I'll do, and I need to get a new phone. And every time I get a new phone, then something else happens to it. So I think the government's listening. But I will pull up a whole bunch of pages and like have all these things, you know.
Yeah.
And some of them the ones that we're researching for the week before. And but sometimes I'll find stuff and I'll be like, "Oh, I got to remember this." Mm-hmm. And you know, most of the time it gets sent through to you. But every once in a while, I'll pull up my browser and they're all gone. So I don't, sometimes, no, like, no. It's after an update or who knows what, or I've been bashing the government, and they're just gone. So it's like, "I'll show you, you know," kind of thing.
Is that an iPhone?
So it is.
Yeah, that's your problem.
No. No, it's not.
iPhone. I'd say jealousy, but it's not.
It's not.
They're not smartphones, that's for sure.
I'll tell you why. Not
Android.
Android. Can you give us a foundation here?
I can. There's absolutely nothing that ever goes on in Alaska. It's perfectly fine up there. No, I'm just kidding.
Snow.
The Alaska Triangle, also known as the Last Frontiers Bermuda Triangle, is a remote region in Alaska where a high number of people have gone missing over the years. The area is bounded by, I have no idea how to say this.
Go for it.
Yutgudvadvik. What? Formerly Barrow.
I think
Barrow.
That was a poor effort.
I think well, it's UT. I think it's a Q. I A G V I K.
Okay, we'll just go with what you said.
Yutkotvik. I think I did a really good job.
Actually, you did.
You're like, come to think of it.
I stand correct.
Yutkotvik.
I was like, what?
Formerly Barrow. Well, it's so close to Russia. I think it must be Russia. Yeah. Anchorage and Juneau, covering a vast wilderness of boreal forest, tundra, and icy peaks.
Mm-mm.
Woo, a woo.
So
this is a good one. Yeah,
I was excited.
I mean, not just because it's my pick.
Nate or Sean, do you want to start with any particular story? Anything that's sticks out in this?
Well,
craziness?
The fact that there's so many disappearances. There are. They said it's like 16 times the amount of disappearances in this area per year of any other place in the world. And it's like, that's pretty creepy. Why this place, you know, and they said there's different of these vortices and the type triangles that are around. You know, we're most familiar with the Bermuda Triangle. And who knew, right? I think there's one on the East Coast. There's supposed to be one in the Great Lakes and all this stuff. But so they talk a lot about the unexplained disappearances. So according to reports, around 4 people per 1,000 individuals have gone missing in the Alaska Triangle over the past 4 decades, which is twice the natural a national average. So that's the national average. But like I said, worldwide, it's like times 16. Hundreds of search and rescue missions have been conducted every year to find missing residents, hikers, tourists, and airplane passengers, often with no success. To point out, now there are a lot of supernatural. We're going to talk about that. But sometimes the wilderness is not a fantastic place, right?
No.
And it is, if you don't know what you're doing, you don't know how to survive, you're going to be eaten by a bear or God knows what, you know, so, or slip through a dimensional portal.
Just a quick synopsis. This area is infamous for alien abductions, Bigfoot sightings, paranormal phenomenon, and vanishing airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
Just sort of a riddle, the highlights of it.
We got it all there, right?
Oh, yeah.
yeah, I like this.
In 1972, Congressman Hal Boggs' private aircraft disappeared without a trace in the Triangle.
Ooh, I want... So... I'm trying to think here, because it says, yeah, so this might be the same, what you just said, Nate. The area first came to the public's attention in October of 1972 when a small plane suddenly disappeared en route from Anchorage to Juneau. Neither its passengers or any wreckage were found from said flight, despite multiple search efforts lasting more than, this is amazing, more than 3,600 hours and spanning a whopping 325,000 square miles. It's a lot. So I guess that'd be the same one. It says, of course, that wasn't the end of the travesties, though. As in the years following 1972, which I was only a year old, I know you guys weren't born yet, more planes crashed in the Alaska Triangle while hikers and tourists seemed to vanish. More than 20,000 people have disappeared since that 1972 plane disappearance, according to the History Channel, a rate that, like I said, Sean, more than doubles the national average. Many high-profile people have gone missing in the Alaska Triangle, including Thomas Hale Box Sr., okay, mm-hmm. there you go, the U.S. House Majority Leader in 1972. Nick Begich, an Alaska congressman, was also on board the flight from Anchorage to Juneau alongside aide Russell Brown and the pilot Don Johns. Not Don Johnson, but Don Johns. After a massive search effort, no bodies nor plane were discovered, which led many to speculate about what had happened. Man, that's crazy. 20,000.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Next, like 1950, one of the largest disappearances of military aircraft and personnel occurred in the region. A C-54 Skymaster carrying an 8-man crew and 36 passengers left Anchorage at 1 p.m. on January 26th. The airliner made a routine radio check-in 2 hours later, as it flew over a small town in Yukon. It was the last communication anyone ever received from the flight. A search effort was mounted, incorporating U.S. and Canadian planes, aided by thousands of volunteers on foot, but nothing was ever found of the C-54.
Man.
So, yeah, where this walls go? Up.
Right? Exactly.
I'm going to make a declaration.
You're not going to Alaska.
I'm not going.
No, no.
Well, I'm not going to this region. I mean, I'd like to go to Alaska. My good friend Jim Coverdale, he got a trip through his work, paid for his he and his wife, his two daughters, their husbands, and then Jim's son. They went on a week-long Alaska cruise. Said it was absolutely amazing. And I've got two other friends that have taken cruises in Alaska. They're like it's just amazing.
Yeah, we're planning on doing it.
I don't want to do this, though. I don't want to go, like, I don't want to be in this triangle thing area. I don't, you know, like, not in the forest, I don't want to go in a plane. So I'll do a cruise, but no, I'm not doing
that's what.
So don't put it on the list, Sean. Don't do it.
I'm not.
Okay.
So.
No. Okay.
What's funny is so many people have said that they love the Alaskan cruises and they love Alaska. So it is funny that, but, I mean, if you listen to all these stories, it's like.
Yeah,
I don't want to go either. It is. No. It truly is the wilderness. One thing that is interesting there is a ton of cryptids that go through there. We've talked about Illy, the Alaska Loch Ness Monster. I mean, there's a ton of them, but she is one, basically. There is, I'm going to make a mess of a lot of these. The, oh my gosh. Ursin Rat. I had to slow down on that one. We've already covered that. The little bush people, right? There is the, I'm trying to find them all because there's so many. So the Tiz Herruk or the Paure Hook, right?
there's no need a name call.
I know, right? They are man-eating creatures with horns that curl forward and out, then backwards at the tip. Their eyes are small and beady. Their body shaped like a crocodile or snake with 7-foot head and thick flipper-like tails. That looks like he's from The Plague, but yeah, it kind of looks like
a duck-billed
platypus.
Yeah,
not quite. There are the, the Ten Mai Ook Pook, which is also
sounds like
Ten Mai Ook Pook, which is the Thunderbird. Thunderbirds happen, they're in other parts of the country too, but this one is a giant eagle with a black tail and severely curved beak. Thunderbirds are so large that they hunt whales as food, so they have been known to be there.
You should have just started off with Thunderbird.
I know. Yeah, no, right, yeah, exactly.
The Took Book Kickabook.
Took Book Hookabook Spook. It's all made. Okay, are we ready for made up? The Sondon Lai Asana. It doesn't have another one.
And I'm glad you got that one.
It's seriously Sdonalyasna. Like, how in the heck do you say that?
Exactly.
Sudanu Hubudu.
Just like a spell.
It's a human shaped, save for the tail, covered in fur except for its face. It may be human sized or even twice that. The most defining feature is its long nose, which can grow as long as a foot. So it's got, and then they said there's a lot of ghost encounters there as well.
Are they saying these cryptids are
these are
recent? They've seen them, or there's or just over, folklore from 1,000 years? Like what is the
some of them, the stories that they cover? Some of them are go back ancient, and some of them are still seen. Like the Ursin Rat are still talked about.
Right.
I mean, I know they've got TikToks and stuff on that stuff, but
yeah.
Bigfoot is another one. That's the yeah, they call him the Kualu Palak. See, I'm doing it.
We'll stick with Bigfoot.
It's like the boogeyman, though, too. They say so.
Oh yeah.
And the, well, I guess the Alaskan Bushman or the Tornit is basically Bigfoot. So.
Oh okay.
The one I like is the Alaskan Werewolf is the Adlet.
Oh, I've never heard of that.
So that sucker's.
Jeez, Pete, he looks like he's been hitting the bench press.
But there's Tiz Herruk. There's a, it's like a wolf snake.
Ooh.
Look at that thing. Isn't that cool?
What's the name of it?
It's a Tiz Herruk.
I just want to hear you.
I know you smell again. It's a wolf. What,
say it again.
A sea snake-like creature. It has the head of a wolf and lives in the icy cold Alaskan waters. It's about 15 long and it ends in a flipper. They said they snatch people from docks and piers. So all these people, people see these things, they're captured by them, they're killed by them, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, ugh.
Sounds like a great time.
Right?
Holy moly.
So now you do want to go to Alaska then?
No. Well, I'll just stay on the cruise. And
not on the docks, huh?
Not going in the woods, not going into the water, no.
But yeah, the amount of cryptids, when I looked through them, I've heard of some of these, but a lot of them I had not.
I haven't heard of any of them.
Yeah, they're strange.
Not Bigfoot. Bigfoot's a mystery to you.
I got another viral case. this goes, let's see here, back in the 70s. So another viral case was Gary Frank Sotherden. He was a 25-year-old New Yorker who was hunting in the Alaskan wilderness in the mid-70s. And there goes my, there we go. Sotherden never returned home, though a skull along the Porcupine River in northeastern Alaska found in 1997 provided some answers. State troopers concluded that the skull belonged to Sotherden, who most likely was killed from a bear attack. And many have offered various explanations to the disappearances, with most citing the geography of the area. IFL science say that the area is full of untouched wilderness, ragged mountain ranges in horrifically cold weather, as well as lots of bears. Makes sense. However, this hasn't stopped many people questioning whether these disappearances are natural or supernatural, particularly
due
to the fact that things seemingly disappear into thin air. Everything from UAPs, energy vortexes, to Native American creatures of myth have been speculated to be responsible. But perhaps, like the Bermuda Triangle, this mystery will never be solved. Or has it?
I think this is along the lines of like Skinwalker Ranch.
There's there's nothing left. Yeah, like I said, there's nothing left behind. Like whether it's if it's the person itself, the people, or the like the wreckage, you find something.
Talking about the vortex. This is the Alaskan vortex is covered with a large concentration of magnetic anomalies, such has given rise to a theory that the Alaskan Triangle could in fact contain a space vortex. This vortex is said to have the ability to transport things into another dimension. Of course, right? Explaining why so many people and objects go missing in the triangle every year. That's an easy way to put it, though. Like, I mean, seriously, like, where does that go?
Yeah, it says with the magnetic irregularities, it can make compasses malfunction up to 30 degrees.
Oh, yeah.
And then
that'll knock you off course.
Some of the symptoms that volunteers, if they're, like, in the area, have encountered are disorientation and audio hallucinations. So they start hearing things. Yeah, in 1986, there was a Japanese cargo flight that encountered extraterrestrial activity. It had three unidentified aerial phenomenon above the expanse. The pilot reportedly thought the craft were military and paid them no mind. Moments later, he realized that the objects were keeping pace and moving erratically around his own jet. Over the next 50 minutes, the strange aircraft shadowed Flight 1628's every move while emitting bursts of blinding lights. The statements made by the crew were verified by civilian and military radar, and the FAA report went on to garner national attention. I've never heard of that one.
I think we touched on it with the Ursin rat, but there is kind of like nature trying to protect itself, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's a theory out there too, is that all these things, you know, including the cryptids, are just trying to kind of, you know, stave off humankind from destroying it or being idiots or whatever.
I don't blame him.
Right? Yeah.
No, I get it. That makes sense.
Did you mention the Kushtaka?
I think so. Did I say it like that?
I don't know.
All your name, all the, I can't keep.
Is BS, right?
I don't. He might have been mad about it.
It's a shape-shifting cryptid.
Oh, no. No. What does it look like?
No.
Yeah. I don't see a picture, but I have the word Kushtaka.
I don't think I got that one.
Kushtaka.
Like I said, a shape-shifting cryptid that stalks Alaska's wilderness looking for human prey. Ooh. While often compared to the mythological Bigfoot, the Kushtaka seems to operate in a much more sinister manner. According to lore, the otter-like creature disguise themselves as a trusted relative or a friend and appears to those who are lost or injured. They lead their victims deeper into the wild, ultimately tearing them apart or turning them into another Kushtaka.
The legend is especially
popular in the southeastern Alaska.
Yeah, I mean, it really does look like an otter, like it has, but it's huge. Yeah, so... No, I did not actually mention that one. That's a really good one.
Well, I heard is this, that, or the otter.
Ba-dum-bum-sh.
I just really cracked myself up. Interesting. Kushtaka.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty easy.
You took the easy one. It sounds easy.
Well, I didn't hear you struggle saying that one, so I was wondering if you said it.
I would have.
Yeah. That's something here. A UFO expert, Debbie Zeigelmeyer.
Downer.
That's a fun name. Zeigelmeyer suggested that the sparsely populated nature of Alaska makes it attractive to aliens.
Yes.
Paranormal investigator Johnny Enoch. Now that sounds made up. Speculated on secret military involvement. While aliens are often blamed, cryptozoologist Cliff Barachman has proposed that the presence of a local version of the Bigfoot, as we said, is the main culprit behind the disappearances. So you've got Bigfoot. This one says, the guy says aliens. And this one says, I mean, it's, I don't know. Oh, well, and then the other one, Johnny said secret military involvement. Now, what?
Well, this, and
what the, would the, what would that like they created something to then it got out of hand, or you're saying that
it's like Stranger Things, baby,
people, right?
Well,
yeah,
this
that's
is,
what I'm thinking. Is that what they're meaning?
We've heard of this before too. One of the secret government mind control facility that's there, or they talk about it a lot, is HARP, and supposedly they can control the weather and oh, do yeah. mind control experiments. But it's the high frequency active aureole research program is a controversial U.S. research facility. It is actually there, based in Alaska, that investigates the potential for developing ionospheric enhancement technology for radio communication and surveillance. Conspiracy theorists have long believed the facility does, in fact, have the ability to modify the Earth's weather, disable satellites, and even control people's minds. Watch out.
The satellites, but I don't, the weather thing, mm-hmm. There's only one. You know,
well, and I mean, I think that
deity or I mean, come on.
I do think that. Well,
I don't get the.
I believe.
What's your opinion?
I believe governments have said that they have controlled the rain to in order to like prevent droughts. So I think that mm-hmm. they can like create storms, but I don't know that it's
how,
like.
How are they doing that?
I have no idea.
I don't buy that.
They send some kind of chemical into the air, but
yeah, they're saying.
And I don't think because that used to be like a conspiratorial, like oh, they're controlling the weather, and it's like sure they are.
Well, but I heard like in like Dubai, they call it like seeding.
That's right. Yeah,
seeding the sky or whatever, and so they drop a chemical, and then it allows clouds to form. And I don't know how much truth is in it. I never researched it or fact checked it, but guys at work were got on the subject of it or something like that. And I guess Dubai right now has like had torrential flooding rains for weeks because they overseeded.
Yeah, here it is right here. So it's weather modification is the act, this is on Wikipedia, so it's got to be true, right? Weather modification is the act of intentionally manipulating or altering the weather. The most common form of weather modification, exactly what you're saying, is cloud seeding, which increases rainfall or snowfall, usually for the purpose of increasing the local water supply. Mm. Weather modification can also have the goal of preventing damaging weather, so it's the opposite effect of what people think it is, such as hail or hurricanes from occurring or provoking damaging weather against an enemy as a tactic of military or economic warfare like Operation Popeye, where clouds were seeded to prolong the monsoon in Vietnam. Weather modification in warfare has been banned by the United Nations under the Environmental Modifications Conventions. I doubt they follow that, though.
Well, blow me down.
Right?
Oh, the bigger skin.
Popeye, huh?
That's right.
So, okay, all right. I mean, I'm trying to be open-minded about it. I just, man... Okay.
They do have, you know, like,
I won't.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I think on a basic level, it definitely exists. But then they go down to conspiracy theories where it says weather modification along with climate engineering is a reoccurring theme in conspiracy theories. Oh, yeah. Chemtrail conspiracy theories suppose that jet contrails are chemically altered to modify the weather. Other phenomenon, other theories attempt to implicate scientific infrastructure such as the high frequency active aureole research program, HARP, which is what we're talking about. But that, I mean, HARP is a real thing. Mm-hmm. But like I said, people, that's right.
I guess
from what I'm reading here, the Wendigo is also up there too.
Yes.
Nate, you beat me to it.
That's right.
Wendigo.
Oh. Okay,
no
find
Wendigo
out.
Right now.
Oh, I love the Wendigo.
Gotta pay attention.
Are we going Wendigo. Hunting for the Wendigo with who was going hunting? I forget. Kevin was, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah. From Where the Weird Ones Are.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Shout out to that show. Go listen
That's right.
to it. Yeah, he's going with a group, and I think I could be wrong. Sorry, Kevin, if I botch this up, but he knows some guys that like they have
military right?
background.
Yeah.
They're the real deal. So that's who I would prefer to go with.
I would
feel safe
yeah.
with these guys, these awesome military, and shout out to them. Wendigo. So we've done a thing on the Wendigo.
We have.
That's a...
could rip you in two, right?
Pretty much.
And eat you whole.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. It's a... I think it's one of the coolest looking creatures, too.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And just by the drawings, pictures, it looks terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I would quite, like if I knew, okay, this is an area where the Wendigo is supposed to be. No thanks. So I'll stick to try to go back to fishing.
It's a Wendigo. Does it bellow? What does it do? I forget. Was that was the alligator, wasn't it? Or the crocodile?
They bellow when they are, they flood. Yeah,
that's right.
That's called bellowing.
I don't think the Wendigo
bellow.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Bellowing. Oh my gosh. Nate, cut his mic. yeah, the Wendigo. Yeah, I was looking right at that, Nate.
Mm-hmm.
The folklore of the Algonquin. Which, real quick, this is so Monday, Sunday or Monday? Monday. I'm watching Wayne's World. I haven't seen that.
Classic.
And they go to, they got those backstage passes with Alice Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, right, you're Ricky or Jay. He's like, he goes, actually, it's pronounced Milwaukee, which means something of the land in Algonquin. <It's> like, we're not worthy. We're not. And I'm like, actually, he is really smart. Like, that's not really. Like, Alice Cooper is like, that's not really like, okay, yeah, but he's an idiot. No, that's kind of how he talks. Yeah, I just Algonquin. It's actually Milwaukee. Just had to throw it in there. Speaking of another, well, that was 90s, not an 80s, but. What else you got on the? There's all kinds of stuff.
That's right. Oh, this is the Alaskan UFO base. We've been talking about that in depth, right? So Mount Hayes is the highest mountain in the eastern Alaskan range and is speculated to house numerous extraterrestrials and UFOs. Area 51, right? Mm-hmm. UFO sightings began during the 1940s and were soon numerous enough to gather the attention of the FBI, who started investigating the area. Experienced military personnel continued to report strange phenomena throughout the following years and into the late 90s. Pat Price, a former CIA remote viewer, claimed the mountain housed one of the aliens' largest bases.
Mm. What's it called again?
Mount Hayes.
Mount Hayes. I don't think I've ever heard of that.
I don't think I have either, but it's the highest mountain in eastern Alaska.
Okay.
In the range.
It's hard to see. It's always hazy.
Purple haze. Oh, interesting. That is interesting. You know, they said, according to this article, just since 1988, 16,000 of those people have disappeared. I'm like, wow. So from... doing the math here. So from 72, when it was kind of discovered, like something's going on, what's going, you know, what is happening. So the first 16 years, like 4,000 people. And then in the last 36 years though, 16,000. So it's kind of a interesting, you know, like when, how many people in a time span, you know, crazy. We said, oh gosh, I lost my, if you have something, go ahead. I lost my spot when I was reading here. Oh, sorry. In any given year, basically 500 to 2,000 people go missing in Alaska, never to be seen again. So that's a lot of people. That is a lot of people. Oh, yeah, there's the Kushtaka.
There's also caves, you know, we, that opens up into the whole, you know, getting lost in, not just in nature, but down into the caves, whether you're taken, you know, by somebody or something. That's also super scary. That happens all around the country. And around the world, but yeah, Alaska is a big conglomerate of cave systems too.
I mean, you got all these like here, you know, we got the national forests, you know, and or the national parks and all that. Tons of people go missing and hurt, even if they're they go missing for a while and then they get rescued. But I mean, Alaska is why they call it like the pretty much the last frontier.
It is
it's so massive,
the lost
you've got
frontier.
Every type of thing that wants to kill you. You know, as far as wildlife, and then yeah, just the conditions, the weather, just the terrain. It's not surprising. I mean, that's a large amount of people, but I'm not. Yeah, I mean, we're not talking like, oh, it's a small little town, and what's happening to these people? I mean, it is Alaska. But here's my point: they don't find anything like left behind, right. Like or like if it's a plane crash, there's got to be something. Like okay, maybe the. You don't find the remains of the people, but where's the plane itself? Like the broken pieces, you know what I mean? Why aren't they finding those things? That's what's blowing me away. I don't understand that. You would think they'd find like, oh, here's a wing. Here's a, you know, here's a landing wheel or, you know, or here's the black box, whatever they got. Nothing is found. Like it's just, they disappear. And then, and even the hard metal, the actual plane or whatever is not being located. So that part is weird. And it's kind of unexplainable, right?
It's creepy is what it is.
It is creepy. And it's really sad too. Like these are people's lives that, and they have nothing to go on. There's nothing. They're just gone. They're just gone. That's, what are you going to say, Nate?
Oh, I found a story of missing persons in Port Chatham. The real fear began back in 1931 when the body of a murdered woodchopper was found after being purposely struck in the head. At the same time, a miner disappeared and was never seen again. As time passed, more people began disappearing. More sightings of this hairy beast were reported, and huge footprints of an unknown bipedal were found. People continued to disappear, and either their bodies were never located or their grotesquely dismembered bodies were found in the nearby waters. A bear was ruled out since the limbs had been completely ripped off with no claw marks.
Ooh.
Could some other creature have committed such monstrous murders? Gripped with fear, the remaining residents fled, and to this day, no one has attempted to live there again.
Wow. No, I don't. I really don't want to go.
I was just going to say, so have we been thinking about this enough? Are we going?
Oh, there's no thinking about it.
You're like, I'm not going.
Pretty much solidified my opinion on, I don't want to go anywhere near this area. Mm-mm.
Did you ever think about it being this creepy, though? I mean, I really honestly never did.
I just knew that, like, from the normal, people are going to go hiking, fishing, boating.
Yeah, you're going to run into bears or something.
Yeah, you got to dive and prepare and get, bring enough food. Yeah, exposure. A guy, a friend of mine I've known since, kindergarten, he went, he's a Westfield police officer. He went, this was 20 years ago. He was showing me pictures. He went to Alaska by himself, and he said it was just an amazing, time. Mm-hmm. And he was showing me pictures of bears and mm-hmm. elk and moose and all these, and he's got a great camera, so he's not like right up on them. He's a distance away. But yeah, he said it's pretty rad how intimidating and how massive and it kind of throws you, because when it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon and it's pitch black, when he went. So it's like the opposite, you're trying to. And then it's when you should be sleeping, it's daylight.
Yeah.
It's like total opposite of what we would do. It's like if you're working a night shift, it's bizarre. He said it's just, but he said it's unbelievable. It's one of those, like when my wife and I, when Amy and I went to the Grand Canyon in Sedona, unless you go there, you can't really tell people what it's like, because it's massive and it's beautiful. And, so you have to see it. Well, it's the same thing with Alaska. He was having a hard time. Like, pictures are great, but unless you're right there in it, it's hard to describe. So I would love to go to Alaska, but not doing this. I don't want a wind to go get me, huh?
Found a ghost ship.
Yes.
Oh, great. Now I can't take a cruise.
One such ship is that of the SS Baychimo, a cargo ship that got stuck in the ice and then mysteriously vanished. However, she did reappear again, but as a ghost ship. For the next 38 years, she was spotted floating along the northern coast of the state. With her final appearance in 1969, the ship has not been seen since.
Wow. Holy moly. It's getting crazier. Yeah. Well, here's one. Here's another story. Alan Foster says it is an example of odd disappearances in this region. So not too long ago, in 2013, the expert pilot Alan Foster of nearly 10,000 flight hours vanished from radar soon after takeoff. And that's another thing, too. You ever hear, like, they literally just take off and they don't know where they're at. That's not, kind of immediately, right?
Disorienting.
Says neither he nor his aircraft were ever found. He gave no indication of any distress prior to losing contact, and the only oddity beforehand was that he dropped to an altitude of 1,100 feet. Richard Griffiths was an inventor who was hoping to prove the worth of his special wilderness survival cocoon. However, after several months of people believing him to be testing his cocoon in the Alaskan wilderness, he was reported missing. The following investigation found that he took a bus toward the White River, a tributary of the Yukon, spent some time in a lodge, and he was never seen again. What the heck is going on here? No one answers. No. So there's right there two guys that just boom, gone. No trace. Again, no aircraft found. Like,
It's just
I don't understand that because they would know where he's at.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, I guess if they lose contact,
disappear into thin air, right?
Yeah. So.
This is a big triangle. I just found a picture of it.
I know.
It's huge, yeah.
Yeah, it's real
borrow long. Yeah,
it's not like your normal triangle. It's stretched out.
Actually, gets a little corner of Canada.
Oh, does it?
Mm-hmm.
As long as it doesn't have a little corner of Indiana. I think we're safe, right?
Alaska talk, especially... this is not a going missing and wondering what happened, but it's that movie Into the Wild. And I think it was 2007.
What is it?
It's based on a true story. So the kid is really good, but it's really sad. After graduating from Emory University, top student and athlete Christopher McCandless abandons his possessions, gives up his entire $24,000 savings account to charity, and hitchhikes to Alaska to live in the wilderness. Along the way, Christopher encounters a series of characters that shape his life. So it's based on a true story. And then they basically, spoiler alert if you haven't seen it, he basically dies and they find him as...
Oh, great. I was going to watch it tonight. No.
Have you seen it, right?
No, actually. I know about it. I knew the story.
Yeah, but it shows how beautiful Alaska is, but also how dangerous it is. And he even pretty well sort of knew what he was doing, and he still
It's kind of like died. When you got expert divers and swimmers. They get in the ocean and they can't.
Yeah, lose your wherewithal.
Yeah, or hikers, expert hikers, and all these experts in these different, the skills that they have and then all the disciplines, that's what I was trying to say. And it... But yeah, like I said, Mother Nature, they're going to win pretty much. I mean, if they want to get drowning or whatever. So, you guys have anything else?
No, not particularly.
Man, there's a lot of stories though.
Really are.
What do you So, what do you think? What do you think?
Dimensional portal vortex is I'm almost guaranteed. The government screwing around.
That or Wendigo.
Wendigo. I could definitely
Do you think
that.
It's like multiple things then?
I do think it's multiple things, yes.
Like depending on what they're doing, where they're doing, how they're, because I don't understand, because there's not a listener that could be like, yeah, all this is fake. We can talk about a haunted house or a ghost.
Well, anybody knows.
They could say the entire story is fabricated, whatever, it's just legend. These are real people that are taking off in their flights and they're not seen again. What happened to them? You know what I mean?
It begs the question, right?
So these aren't. Yeah, that's I don't get. Or this guy that they said he took a bus, stayed in a lodge, and then he's never seen again. I don't know. And these are all different, from 70s, 80s, 90s. I mean, into today, this isn't 1810. Yes.
Right.
Even in the 70s. I mean, there is technology for that time period, so they have, and it sounds like a lot of these people are skilled. Like the one guy, 10,000 flight hours. That's a lot. I don't know. I don't fly planes, but it sounds like a lot. So they kind of know what they're doing.
I think that's the interesting thing that it does go back. It goes back into history pretty far, but then it also is a lot of recent, or at least fairly recent history for us. And I think that makes it even more interesting.
Yeah.
I was reading. There's two different kinds of vortexes. One that swirls clockwise, one counterclockwise. If it goes clockwise, then it's a good vortex.
You got good and bad.
Yep. And then if it's counterclockwise, then that's where you start getting the disorientation and magnetic field disruption.
We talked about that during the Bermuda Triangle, right? Yeah.
Interesting.
That's kind of wild, though, right? Head for that one.
Nate, I've never heard that, though. I mean, I've heard
it. Oh, you don't remember that? I thought we talked about it. Maybe you haven't. But
about
maybe
the counterclockwise?
I thought we did, I could be wrong.
No, I mean, we might have. I can't really remember what I had for lunch today. But my point is, if I had heard it or I just heard it, it's interesting to have a two different types. I didn't know there was really, like I said, maybe we did mention it earlier, but... Then again, when people go, "Oh, I like that episode," I go,
"We did
it all."
Episode
I don't I've remember like a lot of the episodes. Then. I remember, and a lot of them, I'm like, "Really, we did?" They're like, "Oh no, it was really good." I go, "Thanks." I don't.
My problem.
I don't remember
all the episodes we've done is
I'm not joking.
Like someone will mention something, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure we did an episode on it. Or they'll ask me like, oh yeah, this episode, and I'm like, yeah, I know we did it, but I don't know what it is.
While we talk, uh-huh.
I've well, done that like, too. I've totally done that.
Like if somebody's like, oh, that Urson Rat, I can. That's. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of recent, but my point, like, that's kind of a. It's such an odd. Mm-hmm. But man, like, yeah, mm-hmm. same thing. A lot of them, I'm like, I have no idea.
Yeah,
did we do
I
that?
Forget or all the details.
I'll go. Yeah, I don't remember what we talked about. Like, I don't even remember. I don't remember what I said or talked about. My opinion.
Some people
or,
have that like
photographic memory.
Photographic memory, living encyclopedia. They can recall all that stuff instantly. I am not one of those.
Like
people.
I have buddies of mine. Well, my and Amy and my mom. They're amazed that like I can remember games. Whatever sport, and you know, 30 years ago, I can remember where I was watching it at, what the weather was like, certain, you know, the plays, how the game happened, you know, who was at, the, you know, and I can't remember. Like I said, I'll be at work and I'll be upstairs. I'm like, oh, I need to go down and you know, get something like a spray or whatever, you know, and then I'll go down and I'm like, what did I do? Or what do I need? You know what I mean? But I can, but 35 years ago, I can remember exactly this, you know, but I'm really bad with our podcast. At times, I can remember a lot, and then I'm like, thanks. I don't. did we really do? Like, I don't remember the episode at all. It's not like I don't remember the details. I don't remember it all. I'm like, awesome. I'm glad we covered that.
Mine's usually the details. Like, I can't deep dive because, you know, they listened to it and they heard it and they have questions. It's like, I'm going to have to research it again because I don't recall all the details.
It is funny. We've just had so many, you know. Like
we're at over 300 episodes.
So it's hard to keep it all straight, quite honestly.
And I don't know. Well, if you guys are done, I'm going to finish up then. I've got a little paragraph, if you don't mind. This kind of sums it up, I think, with what we've talked about. Again, given the sheer size of the triangle, it's easy to chalk up its mysteries to the perils of traveling through such an inhospitable landscape. Alaska is big, at more than twice the size of Texas. That is pretty impressive.
That's right.
It says it's huge, actually. And most of the state is still entirely uninhabited by people, with rugged mountains and dense forests. Finding a missing person in the Alaskan wilderness isn't like finding a needle in a haystack. It's like finding a specific molecule in a haystack. And there you go. That, I believe, it's massive. So,
oh, yeah.
Well, that's kind of a neat way to wrap it up. And a good description of Alaska. So good choice, Sean.
Yes.
Alaska Triangle. I think the creepies are going to enjoy, or did enjoy that. Middle-aged moment or dark side? I'm going to come off, I'm going to say moment.
Yes. I would say it's a moment. Okay. It's kind of in between. I do want, before I go into what I've chosen, I have a quote from Michael Jackson. You know him, Michael Jackson?
Mm, no.
Yeah.
Well, he was a point guard for Georgetown
for the,
back in the
80s. I was going to say he played for the Clippers, but yeah.
I know. Andrew Jackson.
Well, this is Michael. He's a distant relative. No, he's not. I heard this actually on the radio, and it was during Memorial Day, and I was like, I'm going to totally... He's got several quotes, but this one is a good one. I hadn't heard it in a while, but in a world filled with hate, we must still dare to hope. In a world filled with anger, we must still dare to comfort. In a world filled with despair, we must still dare to dream. In a world filled with distress, we must still dare to believe. And he said that back, you know, 80s, 90s, whatever. But we still need this today, which in 2024. So I thought that was definitely worth mentioning. And I like me some Michael Jackson, whether, you, like I said, do you love him or hate him? I like him. I like his music. I like what he stood for, at least on the surface. And I'm a fan.
I liked his quote, Annie, are you okay?
Annie, are you okay? Are you okay, Annie? That's right.
Nate. let me ask you this, Sean.
Yes.
I've been meaning to ask you this for a while. I asked this a long time ago when he first started saying it, and I'm like, what does that mean? Why, again, do you say haint instead of hate? What is the haint?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. Did I say haint?
You say haint every time.
That's I do. I don't know.
So why do you say haint instead of
we did it. We
hate.
Did talk about this.
Yeah. Why do haint? You say haint? You had an answer. You said, well, it's a,
I think it's like saying crick or, you know, like
creek.
But it's,
crick.
But it's,
crick
but the word is hate. H-A-T.
No, I know.
No, H-A.
It's programming. Miss or like bad programming.
But how would you start saying haint? I'm really, seriously, I'm really.
I have no idea. Like, well, like, it doesn't even make any sense.
No, it doesn't.
My father-in-law says Breakfast.
I would say a lazy talk, but that's the, I mean, yeah. It's not even lazy talk. It's like
breakfast, and we, you know, I say breakfast.
Yeah,
I got decent grades in school too. That's the sad part. Mm-hmm. But
no, I was just wondering because you said was like two, three, yeah, basically when we started the podcast, and I just want to ask again, why is it haint instead of, because I didn't know if you're like, oh, hate. It's a combination of I hate and it ain't. I don't know.
I hate it. It's like ain't a word. Mm-hmm. Haint ain't a word either.
Yeah. You say you're haint. That's fine.
I'll probably keep saying it.
I just wonder why you said, how you started saying haint instead. Because I guarantee when you're a kid, you didn't say haint. You said hate. I guarantee you said hate.
I should have, right? I don't know.
No, you should not say, you shouldn't say haint. Not it's haint. Hate. Hate. I hate that you say haint.
Do you hate that?
I'm joking. I don't hate it.
Let's start with the Lebanon. Lebanon. I don't understand the part. Yeah.
I was just wondering. I thought you actually gave me a reason. Like, oh, well, it's a new fad to say haint. And I'm like,
it was on episode 111.
I don't hear anybody else say haint. I don't remember. Okay.
We did talk about this, but I have no idea. I couldn't tell you.
Does Jenna say?
Probably not.
Honey, why do you say haint?
Probably not. I want to say that I had this discussion with my kids, and we talked about that. Like, I think William pointed out that I said that wrong one time.
Yeah, good.
I don't think it's the only word that I say wrong, though.
I ain't going to take it.
what was one that we were talking about at work. I got called out for, I said frenic, and I meant like.
Frenic?
Like, yeah. Which,
frantic?
And I, well, no, it wasn't frantic.
Yeah. no, it's another word, Nate.
frenetic is what I meant. Oh, but phonetic? I said frenic, and I meant like real, like kind of crazy in your thoughts.
Yeah, I get what
and
you're
there's
like,
a nerve frenic, and frenic means mental, but it's not, it wasn't used correctly. But frenetic is what I meant.
All right.
Or somebody else said, yeah, I think you mean frantic.
So we got nowhere on this.
We got nowhere.
You're still going to say
so
hate.
Take the English language, and I do with it as I please.
All right, now, hear me out. Before you do your millage moment, just say hate.
Hate.
See? Nailed
I can
it.
Do it.
You can do
it's
it.
It's not that my brain's like, I can't. But I hate to say hate. I have to slow it down. I don't know why.
I hate this.
See, now I got you good.
All right, I'm just kidding.
This is one that I guarantee neither one of you have heard this, but I liked it. Since it's Alaska, I thought somebody had played this song for me. I really liked it. It's very backwoodsy country, but I love the sound of it. You should go listen to it if you haven't heard this. It is called, it's a band named called Dirtwater, excuse me, and it's Mountain Man. And I love the lyrics here. They're very simple. I'm just going to read a little bit of it. It's a pretty long song, but this sums it up how it goes. It is the first snow comes from the mountains, and the cold consumes my soul. Chop the last wood of the season to keep my bones and spirit warm. I hear dogs in the distance barking, hunting under the midnight moon. The winter wind blows through the doorway, bringing in this familiar friend. In the faint light of a lantern, he persists to watch my shadow fade. He won't dry the lonely tears I'm crying. He's not here for a warm embrace. You've got to listen deep and listen closely. Wise words won't fall like rain. When he'll be gone come morning, I'll have to carry on. It's another day. I'm a man of the mountain. I'm a man all by myself. I'm a man of the mountain. A man is what I am. And I like I said, it goes on and on. But it's just a really cool song. It's a good one. But it gives us like feeling of isolationism and being a man and trying to go against the elements and see what you're made of, kind of thing. Actually, it was this. I know you're not gonna like this reference, but Paul McCartney, Beatle, right? He has a. I know. Sorry. It is.
I hate the Beatles.
It is like 150. It's
ain't him.
I hate him. It is like 150 different Beatles songs that Paul McCartney wrote, and they talk about them. And from Paul McCartney's, his view, and he talks about how he bought a farm in Scotland, and it was, he said, you know, he was from the city. He didn't know how to farm. He had no idea how to fix things. He was never like what he considered, quote unquote, man's man. Right. And he said, but when he bought this, Linda loved it. He was like, this place is a dump. You know, what are we going to do with this? And it was an investment. Mm-hmm. But he said when they were going through the Beatles breakup and all this stuff and all the politics and the drama, whatever, she's like, Scottish farm. And he's like, it was awesome because we get away. And he's like, I'd mend a fence. I'd never mend a fence before. Oh, I farmed. I took care of sheep. I did the, you know. And so he's like, all of a sudden, I was a man. You know, I'd chop wood. And he was like, it was really cool, you know. And he said it was, he's like, it's something everybody should do is really learn what you're made of. But it was very therapeutic for him as well. So, and
cool.
I think,
like that.
I think there might have been a hillside or mountainside of marijuana there too. I don't know that hurt anything, but so I don't know if he was joking about that or not, but he actually did.
No,
mention,
he probably not.
He did mention that, but
that's cool.
So anyway,
what was the name of the
what
song?
What was the point of that? Dirt Water is the name of the band.
Dirt Water.
Mountain Man.
Mountain Man. Okay. Mountain Man by Dirt Water. Shoo, doggy. What do you think, Nate? Is that?
Never heard of it.
Neither.
I don't think it exists.
No, it does. I promise. You guys have to listen to it. It's really
okay.
good.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Good middle-aged moment. Thank you, Sean, for that. I don't hate it.
You don't like it?
I don't lick it.
Am
either.
I bullying him? Am I a bully tonight? I'm not a bully.
Did you catch
that?
I didn't hear what you said. What'd you say?
He said, I hate it. And I said, I didn't lick it either.
Oh. Heyo! Wow, we're wound up tonight.
A little bit.
Sean,
yes,
you're not done.
You want the second part of the
yes.
announcements?
Yeah.
You can follow us on our social media accounts: Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, X, and Rumble. Email us at makopodcast@gmail.com. That's two A's. Make sure you hit that subscribe button, give us a 5-star rating, and leave a review if the app allows. Please spread the word about our podcast. We sell all kinds of awesome-looking merch, so go get you some. Mm-hmm. If you would like to sponsor our podcast, whether you're an individual or a business, we offer multiple levels. Just email us or message us on Facebook and Instagram.
Nice job. Nice.
You like that? Mm-hmm.
Good job.
You didn't hate it?
look at it.
I worked really hard for that one, too.
Hate it? Good.
My brain said the other first, but
real quick, coming off of that, you and I talked about we're going to get our videos back up, our creepy stories, what we used to call Tuesday Terrors.
That's right.
Now I think we're going to switch days, and if we switch the days, then we're going to call it something else because it doesn't make sense to do a Tuesday Terror on a Thursday or whatever day.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, unless we call it Tuesday Terrors.
Methuselah Day.
So look out for that, and we'll put them on TikTok. All the social media. So, and Rumble. That's when we'll get Rumble up.
That is how we're going to do it.
We've been saying coming soon for about 2 months. So, anyway, look for those again. Those are fun. We just needed a break. It was kind of a little, much needed break. Thank you, Sean. Nate?
Yes.
What do you have, sir?
Hopefully, we'll be back to record the next episode as long as we don't get lost in the Alaska Triangle. And that is a wrap.
That is true. That is true. And if I have anything to say about it, we will not. If you guys want to go on vacation, let me know because I'll prepare to get another tech engineer and a co-host because I don't know if you're coming back. So anyway.
Maybe we'll appear at Evil Never Dies. where did we come from?
Well, see, I've got Micah. He's ready to go for my co-host. But, man, I don't know who the tech engineer is going to be.
I'd watch out for him. He likes to lock eyes.
Oh, and something else. I don't want to mention
lock
the
horns. Wait, no, that's not
yeah. Well, something like that. Thank you, Nate, and we want to thank you, creepies, for listening to episode 169 and our discussion on the Alaska Triangle. And until next time, Nate is your tech engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle aged
and creeped out.
Keep it creepy.